Welcome, everyone. Welcome. Hello. We're about to get started. How are you doing this morning? You're good? Did you enjoy the opening session? Yeah, amazing. And it was just so wonderful to see such an awesome crowd gathered so early in the morning. And as I said, for those of you who are at the opening session, when women support women, nothing can stop us. So thank you for being here to support one another and an amazing woman that you're about to hear from. I am Laisha Ward, Chief External Engagement Officer at Target, or Target, as some of you like to say. And what's been fun for me on many levels, just connecting already with so many of you, is that we are able to share our stories. And so I do hope over the course of the day that you're meeting one another and owning and claiming your story, sharing it with the other women here, and building connections that will nurture and sustain you and others as you leave this exceptional conference. And through social media, as I shared with some of the members of Team Target who are here, hi ladies, Team Target over here, such an honor to work with them and all the other over 350,000 team members that are a part of Target. But I've had a few of you sending me notes on social media asking if this is a Missoni dress from the Target design collection. And I'm not saying that to make this a Target commercial. It's legit. Like, I'm literally getting questions. And so I'm just going to tell you all right now. Yes, it is. People are like, is that? Like, I thought I bought that, and I wasn't sure how it was going to fit. And so yes, it is, and I have the sweater, too. Well, most of them, I think, are sold out. That said, I did just find the sweater a couple days ago. So I'm just saying you might want to check it out and see if there are still a few things left that you might like. It travels really well. Anywho, so I'm thrilled to be here to learn and develop and to connect with all of you. And we're thrilled to sponsor the Pennsylvania Conference for Women and support the development of women all across this country. At Target, our purpose is to help all families discover the joy of everyday life. And that's why we're here, really, to celebrate women and the leadership roles that you play every day, whether in your career, at home, in your community, in your family. We have an absolutely amazing session in store for you, and I'm really delighted to introduce Laura Oakman, founder of Galvanize, which teaches women the tools they need to succeed in the sports world. Now, if you're a sports fan like me, I'm a huge, huge sports fan, you may have seen Laura on the sidelines of the NFL on Fox, Westwood One's NFL national radio games. She's an Emmy Award-winning sports reporter who's covered more than 10 Super Bowls, in addition to the Olympic Games, World Series, and the NBA and NHL championships. Like, she's just a badass. Total badass. And it's just so fun to meet her in person. And she is a communications coach, and she sits on the board of trustees at the University of Kansas William Allen White Journalism School. I was intrigued to learn that Laura has written a children's book titled Mommy Has Cancer in honor of her late mother. So I'm definitely going to be picking that up. Please join me in a warm welcome for one of my girl crushes, Laura Oakman.
Women helping women. Thank you. And my morning just changed. Are we allowed to say badass? Because that just opened up my whole world, ladies. Thank you, Laisha, for such a wonderful introduction. And I want to start by saying this. I've been a guy's girl my whole life. I work with men. I travel with men. I'm on a team of about 75 men every week for NFL games. 73 of them are men. So when I come into a room like this, when I'm in a room full of women, it's overwhelming to me still. This is magic. And so I'd like to continue what Laisha started a little while ago, and I'd like to make sure we're taking advantage of this. if you all, before we start, I was going to say look to the left, but then you'll all be looking in one direction. That doesn't work, right? You're going to look to the person sitting next to you. And if it's a woman, I'm rooting for you, sister. Just say that. And then go to the other side. You guys have to figure that out. And say, I am rooting for you, sister. If you are sitting next to a man, gentlemen, thank you for being here. I am rooting for you, brother. Ready? Go. Bonus points. Bonus points right here. All right, that was good, but I mean this. These rooms are so hard to come by. So will you do me a favor? Do it one more time. But I mean, feel this. I am rooting for you, sister. Go. This is always the uncomfortable part. The uncomfortable part is root for each other, but hold on, come back, come back. Stop rooting for each other right now. And I hope you don't mind, but I'm going to reintroduce myself. Deborah's going to help me and time this for me, okay? All right. I have been a sports broadcaster for over 25 years. I have been small market to network, traveled with Michael Jordan and the Bulls for 3 championships. That's pretty cool for a Chicago girl. Won an Emmy, have worked over 10 Super Bowls, hosted 3 Olympics, NBA Finals, NHL playoffs. I am an NFL on Fox sideline reporter and Westwood One radio sideline reporter. I'm now the 3rd longest tenured sideline reporter in NFL history. I have a company for young women, thank you, in sports. That takes more time, you guys. I have a company for women in sports. I also have a production company so I can create content. And I am a communications coach for businesses, professional teams, Super Bowl coaches, and 200 of the top professional women hockey players in the world. Deborah, how long was that? Oh, you guys, that's normally 38. I'm going to give it a little bit with you here. 40, how much? 44. 44 seconds. I used to think that defined me. I thought that was all of me. And it's 44 seconds. That is what I do. That is not who I am. That's my who. That takes a whole lot longer than 44 seconds, and it should, right? That's my favorite part of my journey, because that took me the longest to get there and the hardest work that I've ever done. My who? Well, for a very long time, I was a young girl who lost her mom to cancer. That defined me. And then my who shifted, as who's tend to do, right? My who became a young girl, a young woman, who was told, you don't know what you're talking about. Doesn't matter what you're saying. You're talking sports. You're a girl. You're crazy. You don't know what you're talking about. And then it wasn't so crazy. I was talking sports for a long time. And then my who shifted again. This time my who was, you might be talking sports, but boy, you better enjoy it right now because you're a woman aging on camera. Right? And that is going to be a very quick window, so you better enjoy it now. That was my who. For a really, really long time, because I believed it and I feared it until I did it. And now I stand here in this room that shall not be wasted with a new who. My who now? Oh, I've never been happier. I've never been more fulfilled. I've never been more in love with my new husband, with my new opportunities that I get, and these rooms that I find myself in every day. That's who I am. That's where the magic is. Now, my journey to my who started with a pull. And before I got to that pull, I had to really figure out who I was. And usually that happens during a hard time, right? It's never a good time where you're figuring your who out. I was on an airplane, which I always am. I'm always traveling. But this is the one time I was on a plane and we thought it was going down. And we had a massive, monstrous drop. The masks come down. People start screaming. People start crying. People start reaching for their phones. And I didn't care. And I'm watching everybody else, frantic, and reaching out to people. and I just didn't care. And I've told that story, and people will go, well, you didn't care because you were at peace. And I'm like, no, because I didn't care. Thank you for getting it. They'll say, because you accomplished everything that you wanted to accomplish. And I'll say, no, because I didn't care. But thank God, when that plane landed, I made a promise that I would start creating a life that I would care desperately if a plane I was ever in went down. So that changed everything. But it's easy to say that, right? That changed everything. That's when the work started. So it began every morning I would wake up, and I would have this thought, eyes open, and I would be paralyzed with one thought. I don't know what makes me happy. And I just lay there. Next day, wake up, eyes open. I don't know what makes me happy. And then one day, I had the same thought, but I changed the inflection. That's all I did. Eyes open. Huh. I don't know what makes me happy. And that set me on a path. I made a new rule. The rule was anything anyone brought to me, any opportunity, any invitation, no matter how big, no matter how small, I had to ask myself, will that make me happy? And if the answer was, I don't know, I had to do it. So I'm in the middle of the will it make me happy phase. And I have a girlfriend who reached out to me and said, do you want to go to this place in the desert? Now, it's one of those places you go to where you're going to do the work, right? Mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. It's one of those places. I had never been. And I had never been on a trip with a girlfriend because I didn't let anyone in. I didn't have anybody that was close enough to go on a vacation with. But she asked, and she was working on similar things. So I said to her, I'll go. I'll go with you, but we got to make a deal. You've got to promise me we're going to do all those classes that we roll our eyes at, all those classes where we've got to share our emotions, we've got to be vulnerable, we've got to open up. Are you in? And she said, I am in, but I need you to make a deal with me. So let me tell you something about my girlfriend. She's amazing. She's a lawyer by do, okay? That's her do. Her who, she flies planes, she bungee jumps and jumps off bridges and buildings, and she's that girl. I am not that girl. I do not like heights. These heels are as high as I go, and this makes me uncomfortable. You'll see I kind of hold a little bit. But would doing something like that make me happy? I thought I knew the answer, a big no, but I wasn't sure. So I said, we got a deal. So we go there, and it's a 40-foot pole that I pick out. Now, that didn't sound that bad. There were some really scary options. So jumping off a 40-foot pole didn't sound awful. So we go there. There's eight of us. There's the pole over there, and eight of us sitting around a circle. And as we start talking, I'm kind of looking at everybody, and I pull the guide to the side before we get serious, and I want to be really honest with you all because, you know, we're going to do a lot of sharing for the next hour. I had something on my mind, and it was really weighing heavy on my mind. I had a facial at noon. And before you judge me, this is that kind of place where it's not even a facial, it's an experience. Like, it's a big deal. And that's what I'm thinking about at 10 o'clock in the morning. I just got to get to this facial. And so I say to him, hey, how long does this last? Because everything else is really rigid. You know it's 45 minutes and you have 6 minutes to walk to the spa, to the cafeteria, to the meditation room. Everything's scheduled perfectly, except this one thing. And it just said 10 o'clock, nothing else. So I said, how long is this going to be? And he just looked at me and smiled and he goes, you never know. Depends on all of you. So I just... reporter brain kicks in, and I start checking out the group. And I'm like, all right, who's going to be the one? Who's holding us back? Because you know how there's always that one who's going to break down and slow the group? And they're going to take a group activity, and it's going to turn into their own personal therapy session. Like, you know that's happening. At least I did. So I'm looking around to decide who's it going to be. And I land on a pregnant woman. And I'm like, why are you here? Should pregnant women be jumping off 40-foot poles? I wasn't sure, but my money was on her, and obviously, as you can tell, my judgment was very much on her. So I am watching her, and we start. First couple of people go, get up. They go up pretty quickly, and they jump down, and I'm feeling good. Next one, up, down, and, like, everyone's having fun, and I'm like, this is actually going to be great. Here comes the pregnant woman. She goes up quicker than everybody, just room and down, like I'm having a baby. Do you think this scares me? She's good. So I go after her because I'm like, well, this is good. This is easy now. So I get up there. I get about halfway up, and I have that thought in my head. Does this make me happy? No, it really did not make me happy. Really, no. I start to climb down. And the guy just steps up and is like, oh, hold on. What's going on? And I said, absolutely nothing. Please, let's not make a big deal about this right now. I don't like heights, to be really honest. I'm only here because my girlfriend's making me, so I don't want to hold anyone up. I'm just going to come down. I start to take another step. He takes a step with me and goes, hold on. What's going on? And I said, nothing. Absolutely nothing. It really is. I don't like heights. Nothing deeper. Please don't do that. I probably said it nicer just now than what I did to him. Please don't do that. I'm going to go down. And here comes the pregnant woman. She gets a little closer to me and goes, can I talk to you for a minute? And I'm like, I'm literally sitting here on this pole, not allowed to go down. Go for it. What do you have? I'm not going anywhere. And she says, I've known you for 45 minutes. That's about it. But I can already tell enough about you that if you climb down, you are going to get to bed tonight and you won't sleep. You're going to be cursing yourself out. You're going to be so angry at yourself. You told me you're here to do the work. You told me that you are here to make a change. And if you go down right now, you've changed nothing. This whole week that you're so excited about, it's going to be a failure. And she was right. So she said, can I help you? Can I talk you up this pole? And I said, yes. So very slowly, she talked me up that pole. And how many of you have done anything crazy like this? Have anybody climbed up that pole? So you know there's like, you literally step into a baking pan, right? Like, it doesn't make sense. But so I stand there just long enough. I mean, that pole is rocking. I'd love to tell you it was windy, but like, that pole was rocking from how much I was shaking. I was there just long enough to say a prayer. Let this be the first of many poles that I find the courage to leap from. And I jumped. Now, the only thing at that time I hated more than crying in front of people would have been people making a big deal about me. I hated that. But let me tell you, when I was on that pole and when that guide said to me, what are you thinking about? Here's what I was thinking about, and here's what I told the group. I said, I'm sitting here thinking about my whole life. My whole career has been about asking people, what have you overcome? How have you overcome adversity? And I'm sitting here halfway up a pole in my life on this pole, and all I want to do is taste adversity and climb down. I don't want to go through it. I don't want to climb up. I want to come down. So it had been a lot to be on that pole. So when I got down and everybody came and all of a sudden I am surrounded. And I am surrounded by love and people are crying as much as I am and they're laughing and they're hugging me. And I hate people making a big deal about me, if I didn't say that enough. And I'm sitting here thinking, man, does this feel good? This feels really good. So the guide is the last person there. And he hugs me the hardest and the closest. And I whisper to him, I'm so sorry. How long did that take? And he said, you were up there as long as you needed to be. And he was right. And so after that, after the pole experience, you all sit back in that group again. And everybody goes around and says what they got out of the experience. Now, everybody went pretty quickly. What did they get out of it? They had fun. They jumped off a pole. And then it got to me, and everybody laughs, and I'm like, I cannot believe I'm about to talk more and share more feelings. And this pregnant woman says, may I take your turn? And I said, please do. So she said, I am here because I never wanted to be a mother. I am here because I had no relationship with my mother. I still don't. And I don't know if I'm capable of it. And right before I came here, I found out I'm having a girl. And so I came here asking for a sign that I could do this, and I just got it. I've never felt more motherly than right now talking you up that pole. And little did she know, at that moment, more than anything in this world, on that pole and in my life, all I wanted, all I needed was a mother. to why you share your vulnerability. Boy, it feels good to get all that love. But you also don't know who you're helping. And the funny thing was, for the rest of the week, anywhere where I'd be, that whole week, this group would find me and they would run to me. And what they would say was, I've changed my purpose. This whole trip has changed. All I'm looking for is my pole. I'm looking so hard for my pole. And I thought, how funny, they're trying so hard to find a pole, and I had spent all my life, all my years, running from poles. And yet, there I was. That leap changed my life completely. Everything was, at that moment forward, about finding my who, not just everybody else's who. Remember, that's my do. I had to stop telling everybody else's story. I had to stop hiding behind everybody else's story. And I had to start focusing on my own. Before pole, pre-pole, if you would have asked somebody about me, someone I know well, and they would say, Laisha, tell me about Laura. And she'd be like, hopefully you would say, Laura's great. She's like having a therapist. I can tell her everything. I tell her everything. It won't go anywhere. She's a vault, and I can call her anytime. And then someone would go, awesome, tell me about Laura. And Laisha would go, oh, what do you want to know? Are her parents alive? Does she have siblings? Does she have kids? Is she married? Does she have a boyfriend? Is she divorced? And Laisha would go, I have no idea. Not because they didn't try, but because I didn't share. I didn't share anything. So that led to my next question. Will sharing make me happy? I didn't know. So that was the journey. One of the first challenges I did was went back to an airplane. Because again, I'm on them all the time. And I started thinking, I wonder how many relationships and connections I've missed. All those years, all that time sitting on airplanes and not talking to people. Please groan if you're one of those people who hates people who engage on airplanes. Thank you for raising your hand. I never know, is that a groan, a laugh, but that's a very clear, yes, I hate that. I was like that too. I would have groaned also. But I said, I can't. My new rule. Can't put on my headphones. Can't bury myself into work. I've got to engage. But there was one rule. I could not ask what they do. Could not talk about their job. That was the rule. The first person I did that with introduced me to my husband. The second person, this was years ago, was the first person to say, you should be a media consultant. Why aren't you doing something with coaching? And hired me, but way before I'd ever even thought about that, and is now one of my closest friends. The third person just partnered with my husband last year, and they produced a movie together. Three people, all at my wedding, all have completely changed my life. Here's the thing. We didn't talk about what do you do? We talked about difficult divorces. We talked about losing loved ones. And we talked about difficult times in different lives. All who, no do. And here's the key, no agenda. That was the biggest key. That is the biggest key. I learned that very early on. I'm so happy I'm in Philadelphia right now because I'm going to drop a sports name. And sometimes I do women's conferences and I'm like, are there any sports fans? And nobody says anything. Are there sports fans in this room? I love Philadelphia. So I learned this as a very young reporter. I was in Montgomery, Alabama, and I was covering Charles Barkley, former 76er. I love this room. I was covering him as a young reporter. And one time I called Charles and he answers the phone and he goes, well, Laura Oakman, what do you need? And I was like, what do I need? Can't a girl just call and say hello? And he says, a girl can, you just never do. And he said, I'm not telling you this to make you feel bad about yourself. He said it more colorfully than I will. But he said, I'm not giving you grief about this. I just know when you call, you need something. So what do you need? And I was crushed. I never wanted to be that person. You know that person when the phone rings and you look down and you're like, what do they need? But I'm 22, 23, whatever I was. Why am I calling Charles Barkley? Why am I calling him unless I need something? I'm not going to say good game. I'm not going to say how was your weekend. I also don't want to give the wrong message. So how do you balance that? That changed my course completely. So now what I started doing was thinking about how am I building relationships? Well, first of all, I started sharing. It wasn't just how are you, how was your weekend? It was starting to build a relationship. So what I had to do was figure out how to do that. If you watch me now on an NFL day, okay? So let's say it's a Sunday and I get to the field about 4 hours before. I walk a field for about 7 hours that day. And that's all talking to the coaches and to players. But the second that game ends, I get in the car and we have about an hour to 2 hours before our flight takes off. My second part of my day begins. I look at every single score that happened and I start texting. I mean, the joke is always, here goes Laura and her thumbs. I start texting every head coach, every assistant coach, every general manager, every player that I have a relationship with. Congratulations on the win. So sorry about the loss. So sorry about the injury. Sending healing thoughts your way. I don't ask questions. I don't ask them of anything. It is just constantly every week reaching out to them. That exchange with Charles completely changed my life. It completely started getting me thinking about how am I building these relationships. So when I started doing the media coaching, one of the first things I did was I called a player that it took me about 2 years to get in. I had known him covered him about 10 years. And he would always tell me, don't try to build this relationship you're trying. Like, I see what you're doing. But I have a bubble. I call the bubble around me and you can't get in. It was Brian Urlacher. And Brian would say, you can do this as much as you think. We're not friends. And I was like, we will be friends. I'm getting in this bubble. So it took me about 2 years, but I got in the bubble. And so what I said to him was, I'm starting to teach. I'm starting to teach players how to build relationships and how to vet. What's the biggest thing that I can say I did to get in that darn bubble? And he said, I'll tell you what you did. You reached out 10 times and you asked for something once. That was it. So the biggest thing with that, again, is there was no agenda. If you have no agenda, then you get a bridge, right? How do you walk over that bridge? How do you build that? That wonderful Maya Angelou quote, no one remembers what you say, they remember how you make them feel. I live there. That is everything to me. Besides having no agenda, what I will always do is make sure I almost have a cheat sheet. I ask questions. When I was young, I would walk into a room where I didn't know anybody, and I'd be so intimidated, and I'd start thinking, how do I prove myself? How do I make sure I say something that I look smart, that I know what I'm talking about? And I never was making connections that way. I was looking for a job. I was looking for something, but I wasn't getting that. And then finally, I realized it's not about me. It's about you. So I will have my questions. I will have 1 to 2 to 3 questions every room I go in and think, how can I connect with somebody? But here's the trick. They've got to be questions that I want to know the answers to. That's the trick. I learned that the first seminar I put on, and I had about 30 women, and I'm sitting here signing up all these women as they walk in. And I'm signing them up and talking to them, but I've got my ear to the room. Because I know they've got about 30 minutes before we start. I have to sign everybody up. So I'm signing up and I'm listening over here and I hear what's happening. What do you do? How much experience do you have? Who do you know? What school do you go to? And I'm sitting there thinking, oh my gosh, this is going to take me all day to undo this. And it did. And so I had to think, what is my way that every time I'm in a room with people, what's my common denominator? What's something to make us all stop judging each other, sizing each other up? And we all know what that is. You're sizing yourself up, right? That's what it really is. How do I stop that? What is our common denominator? The one I came up with is fear. I don't care how old you are. I don't care where you're from. I don't care anything about you. We all have that in common. Just different things we fear. So what I did was I made everybody wear a name tag from that moment on. Your first name. And then underneath, when you walk in that door, what is the biggest thing that is paralyzing you right now? What fear is holding you back? And you are not allowed to do small talk. You introduce yourself with your fear. And I have to look at it. And if it's something that you're working on and I've overcome, I'm going to give you a piece of advice. And I'm going to tell you this is how I got through that. If it's something I'm working on, I'm going to hang right here with you. And we're going to have a conversation about it. And then when they introduce themselves, they stand up and I say, hi, I'm Laura. This is my fear. And the person that gave me the greatest piece of advice in this room was this person. We're already building that connection. Nobody in that room, when they stand up and introduce themselves after an hour now together, nobody knows where they're from. Nobody knows their job. Nobody knows anything about them, but they know their fear of failing. They know their fear of letting their parents down, letting themselves down. They know their fear of the cancer returning. That's how we start our day together. That's how we start. And I don't care if that's a room full of young girls who I mentor, older women, women my age, or rooms of NFL players. That's what I did 10 years ago, and I continue to do that now. A couple weeks ago, I was doing a game with the Carolina Panthers. I'm okay because of divisions here. I knew I wouldn't get booed. I'd be careful if I said the Cowboys. But this is how my Fridays work. My team travels. We land in Carolina, and we meet with the team. Head coach, coordinators, and a couple players. We all meet individually. So there's a room of five of us, pretty much, four guys and me. And we sit there for an hour, each person. We talk do. That's all we do. We talk football. And then I walk out, and I get the hoop. So I'm walking out with Cam Newton. Cam can be difficult with conversation. I'm not saying Cam is difficult. Conversations with Cam can be challenging. In the greatest way, because Cam is very aware of intent. Cam is very aware of authenticity. So I have to think about my conversations before him. That's how I built my relationship with Cam. Never just kind of coming in, hey, how are you doing? How's your ankle? How's the game? I research that. I think about what questions do I want to ask him. So I had done a lot of research. It was the first game of the season. And I read this great article that he spoke to a bunch of kids during the offseason. And one of the kids was interviewed and said something that struck him. He said, Cam said, I'm worried that my best is behind me. And I got that. So Cam and I walk out of the room. And I said, can I share a story with you? And like he gave me a look like, what is this? And I said, I was at a place. And I'm telling him very quickly about the place I told you with the pole. Now, here's the thing with the place with the pole. Everything was about your present, right? Working on your present. Be where your feet are. But there's one place at this place where you can talk about your past and you can look to your future. Anybody want to guess? It's a psychic. There's a psychic at this place. And as much as my pole guide was like, please don't do that. We're so heavy present right now. Please don't go talk about your past and future. I did, because I didn't know if going to a psychic would make me happy. And it was amazing. It was an hour of her telling me all these things and all this insight, and I am crying and I am sobbing. And at the end, she goes, okay, we're just about out of time. Ask your question. And I said, oh, I'm good. I have no questions. I'm a bit overwhelmed right now, to be honest. I'm trying really hard to process everything you said. And she said, ask it. And I said, I really don't have one. I would tell you. Like, I know you can, you know I would be lying. I'm not lying. So she said, I need you right now to stop talking, to get out of your head, take a breath, and say the first thing that comes out of your head. It is the question you are looking for the answer for. This is what you need. And I truly didn't have a question. I mean, I really was like, I don't know what's happening right now. But I did what she said. I stopped talking, I took a breath, and all of a sudden a voice, it came out of my mouth, but I still don't know who said it, but I said, have I peaked? I was 40, which I thought was very old at that time. I was 40, and I had checked off every box. Super Bowls, Olympics, I checked them all. But here I was in the saddest, loneliest marriage and didn't know how to get out of it, if I'd find the courage to get out of it. I had nobody close to me. No one even knew I was so sad and miserable in my life. I didn't know what made me happy, and I didn't care if my plane went down. And so she looked at me, and she reached over, and she held my hand, and she said, oh, honey, you're not even going to believe how good it's about to get for you. And she was right. And I told Cam that story. And Cam, when I said it, I don't want to hit the microphone, grabbed his heart like I punched him. And he said, "You had no idea how much I needed to hear that today." And gave me the biggest, most authentic hug of my weekend. Now, I wouldn't get that hug. I would not get that hug if I talked football, if I talked due, if I talked work, if I talked job. Wouldn't have gotten it. All who? I don't share that story with everybody, certainly not with players that I cover. Yet, there we were, standing there having a real, authentic conversation that I know neither of us will forget. And that is why you don't talk about your do, and when building relationships, why that who is so important. And that's going to lead me to you wonderful people right now, because me standing here doing this feels very due to me. Like, I still struggle with that because it's me talking to you, telling you my story. So this is when we get involved. This is when we make the room move. So what I'm going to do is, first of all, make you groan really badly when I say I'm going to have you do this. But if you are sitting next to someone that you know, Team Tarjay, I already know that this group knows each other. If you are sitting next to someone you know, just move a seat over. And as annoying as that is, I promise you I do this all the time. The only regret and complaint I ever get is when people go, "I should have moved. I should have went with someone I didn't know." So do me a favor, quickly, just a seat over. Just look like, just so you're not sitting next to someone you know. Or if you're sitting next to someone you know, just go the other way. All right, I apologize. You guys seem like you're doing something without getting any directions. All right, here we go. Here's what we're going to do. You guys, I have to trust you. The last group I did this with, they had to start flicking the light on and off because I couldn't get them back. So I've got to trust you with this. So I'm giving you 2.5 minutes. This first part's easy. 2.5 minutes, and one of you guys decide, is the reporter, is the interviewer, and the other person is the interviewee. That's it. And 2.5 minutes, all you're going to do is get to know each other. But one person asking the questions. And we're going to switch, so you are going to play both roles. So you're not getting out of it, so it doesn't matter which one you pick right now. You're doing it. 2.5 minutes, and I'm going to stop you, but please, really, I'm going to, like, make some noise. So when I say 2.5 minutes, I want you to stop. And I say that because that's how a real interview is. We get 2.5 minutes, and we can't go over. So 2.5 minutes, pick which one is asking and which one is talking, and that's it. Get to know each other. That's it. It's easy. Ready? 3, 2, 1. And stop. And stop. Who thinks 2.5 minutes felt like an eternity? Who thinks 2.5 minutes felt like that? All right, switch. Ready? And go. And stop. And stop. Come back. Flicker lights. Are there lights over there? For all you wonderful people standing, for the next one, are there lights someone can flicker on and off when we need them? All right, how many of you talk jobs? Be honest. How many talk jobs? How many talked where are you from? How many of you talk siblings? Kids. Guys, I can Google all of that. We have Facebook, we have LinkedIn, we can find all of that out. How I look at it is this. How many of you have left an interview, a job interview, or a conversation, or a party, and said, "I didn't even give myself a chance," right? I didn't tell them who I was, I didn't even have a meaningful conversation. My fantasy is to change business cards completely, the whole concept of them. And what I always thought is what it should say is what your name is, and then if you want to get to know me, you really want to get to know me, you need to know this. What's your this? Give me an airplane. Give me a room of strangers. I'm going to make someone cry. I hope none of you fly home with me today. You're going to be like, oh, God. I'm going to make someone feel. And it's all about what is your this. So we're doing this 2.5 minutes again. We're going deeper this time. Nothing that you can Google, people. What? But you can always go deeper. You're going to be so much more ahead of everybody. Okay, so you're going to do 2.5 minutes again, and this is it. Go back to the first reporter asking the questions. The conversation is simply, if you want to get to know me, if you really want to get to know me, you need to know this. What is your this? Go. I know, I need that. And stop. Come back. It's always harder to get back after the this. It's always harder. Okay, ready to switch? 2.5 minutes. What is your this? Go. Were you? And stop. I'm always so torn. It's like I stand here and want to get you to stop, but I'm like, but keep going, but stop, but keep going. Raise your hand if that felt different. That should feel different. I should say raise your hand if it didn't feel different, but don't. So I love that exercise, but here's the thing. Your this changes, right? It's constantly changing. My this for a very long time was being a young girl who lost her mom at 23. That was my this. Now, my this right now as I stand here, if you want to get to know me, if you really want to get to know me, you need to know that after 25 years of being told everything goes downhill after 40, after hearing that for so long, I'm crushing this second act. Highlight of my day was just now. Thank you for giving me that. This second chapter that I was so afraid of, this has been the ride of my life. Everything leading up to now, every pole, everything leading up to now was simply to get me to here, to poles so much taller than 40 feet, right? And let me tell you something from my do, okay? I apologize. I should never end on a do, but I'm going to. As a reporter, I've been so privileged to interview so many people and get to know so many people after, you know, I'm almost 30 years and have so many great interviews on camera, off camera, conversations. Nobody hangs on the good stuff. The end of the sentence, the end of the story is, and I won a championship, and I won the trophy, and I got the raise, and I got the promotion. That's your dessert. You should enjoy it. But your filet mignon, your entree that sustains you, sustains your story, your stories as you build your relationship, that's your this, and that's never the good stuff. That's the hard stuff that winds up being the good stuff. That's everything that you've overcome to get here. Every pole that led you to where you are, hang there. That's your this. My challenge to you today, as you continue this incredible day, is make sure that you make it a day of purpose. Make sure that you run to poles. If you see them, run to them. Leap from them. Literally, figuratively, be careful. Literally, there's so many people. Figuratively, jump. Jump off those poles. Take your who today as seriously as your do every day. And make sure you find your this and go talk to somebody about theirs. Help them find theirs. In sessions, most importantly, in hallways, if you see somebody walking by themselves, I'm giving you the cheat sheet I talked about, right? So if you're one of my introverts, who's my introverts in the room who are really uncomfortable with this? I used to be one too. I swear, I was one too. This is your cheat sheet of being able to say, I was in one of the rooms today and we were talking about this, and ask them, have that question ready, and you will be blown away by how good it feels for you to build that relationship, for you to take that first step. So talk to people in hallways today. Talk to people in bathrooms today. Talk to people in Ubers. Please talk to people on airplanes. Please. My favorite part after I give these speeches is always the emails and the DMs I get from people whose lives change on airplanes after this. I promise you, it happens. Talk to people on airplanes. And build meaningful relationships, not contacts, not sources. What I told you I do after football games, that most of you won't be able to text a lot of players and head coaches and say congratulations. But every one of you has a boss. Every one of you has people that you want to build relationships with. Don't do it when you need something. I, once a month, will text or email my bosses, and I will say, do you have time for lunch this week? No agenda. And we just do a what is your this? That's what we do. The fifth time I reach out, I say, spoiler alert, I have an agenda. But they know that. They know when I don't have one. Reach out to people when you don't have one and get to know them. Everyone, bosses especially, will really appreciate that kind of a connection. That's where the meaningful relationships come from. The ones that you had no idea had the potential to be that meaningful. My this, it just changed again. My this, if you want to get to know me, if you really want to get to know me, you need to know how grateful I am to have been in this room and with your incredible energy today. Thank you so much for being here and being a part of this.
Wow. I just told Laura she crushed it and lived up to the badass title that I put on her. You lifted some sisters up. So thank you so much, Laura Oakman, for your inspiring words and reminding us to own and claim our stories and to share them and to listen to the stories of others. So thank you all for being here. We're going to give you now time to get to the next session. Hope that you'll check out the Target exhibit space in the exhibit hall. Enjoy the day.